Conservative? You bet. Controversial? Right again. It's time to squabble on the Jim Benson Show.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Jim Benson Show, conservative talk radio covering the issues that concern you here on the BBS Radio Network. To start off today's program, some thoughts on current events. Here's a quote from our president in exile, Donald J. Trump, as the late, great radio talk show host Rush Limbaugh referred to him. Trump posted this on his Truth Social website pages, January 1. Quote, "Happy New Year to all the radical left Democrats, Marxist lunatics, China-loving Coco Chow and her obedient husband Mitch, and clueless rhinos who are working so hard to destroy our once great country. More importantly, Happy New Year to the incredible, brave, and strong American patriots who built, love, and cherish America. The real leaders of our country will always remain faithful and loyal to you. The USA will be back bigger and better and stronger than ever before. God bless you all." Close quote. It's a message of hope, but it's being made by a rather battered and beleaguered 45th president who's nevertheless standing up to the vicious and often hate-filled political opponents, many of them on the payrolls in one way or another, of the Communist Chinese Party, the CCP. Happy New Year, Mr. President. But without real free and fair elections, I say you have no chance of ever again occupying the White House. In other news, thank God enough of our right-leaning justices on the Supreme Court had the good sense to keep the immigration law provision known as Title 42 in place for the time being, at least, blocking the Biden administration from removing it. As horrific as the human tide flooding across our southern border is, thanks to the policy of planned chaos by the Chinese communist-installed agent in the White House, Joe Biden, and his co-conspirators among our supposed elites getting rich helping China destroy us, the situation at the border would be infinitely worse if Title 42 is allowed to be withdrawn. And why wouldn't anyone in their right mind not want to prevent people with infectious and deadly diseases flooding across our borders? That's what Title 42 is about, or at least is supposed to be about, barring illegal entry to these people. Yet there are seemingly millions of CCP dupes and lackeys out there cheering on all this border insanity, difficult as this is to comprehend. How stupid can people be wanting to bring about their own enslavement and destruction? And this border madness is just one aspect of the unrestricted entropic warfare the CCP has been waging against America for decades. By the term entropic, I mean disorder, chaos. That's what the CCP wants for America, and that's what it gets with its communist Democrats and rhinos running our government and its friends on Wall Street and elsewhere. We'll have to see what the high court does with this, but at least we have some degree of mass illegal immigration protection for the time being. And again, thank God, because if you have been following the staggering COVID-19 rate of infections occurring in China right now with the sudden lifting of virtually all of that country's previously severe restrictions, you are aware that possibly hundreds of millions of Chinese people have become infected in recent weeks and are, just today, being freed to travel the world. One of the more disturbing aspects of the horrific mass COVID infections occurring in China is a resurgence of a phenomenon known that was as white lung. This was seen with the original outbreak that occurred in the country years ago. And it's a condition where severe pneumonia infection shows lungs appearing white on CT scans in patients. It's also often fatal. At present, it's unknown if this increasingly widespread condition of COVID patients in China is related to a new and more deadly variant of earlier forms of COVID-19. If it is, the rest of the world is woefully unprepared to deal with it, and limiting visitors to the U.S. who are sick would be one of the few measures we could take to slow down its spread to our population. While we're on the subject of communist Chinese influence in our society, I'm not at all disturbed about the recent battle that raged over several days in the House over the speakership position. In the end, early in the morning, just yesterday, January 7, consummate establishment Republican Kevin McCarthy finally garnered enough Republican votes to be elected House Speaker and thus be the most powerful person in that body and third in line for presidency. McCarthy immediately took the speaker's gavel and launched into a flowery speech, I thought, about how the country's worth saving and so on and so forth. But we'll have to see just how committed to this McCarthy is and how much may be just for show. During his speech, McCarthy said the first bill introduced by the new Republican House majority would be one to reverse the Biden administration legislation to hire 87,000 new IRS agents. Good luck getting that through the Democrat-controlled Senate. To be elected Speaker, McCarthy made major concessions to conservative Republican holdouts that promise at least to transform what has been business as usual in the House and hold the Speaker accountable. The problem is that McCarthy is viewed by many of those rebelling against his bid for a Speaker as the quintessential Washington establishment uniparty swamp creature, a Republican who talks tough and then caves in to go along with the opposition, communist-worshipping Democrats and rhinos. McCarthy is said to be a protege of Trump-hating rhino, that's Republican in name only, former Congressman Paul Ryan of Wisconsin. Ryan was a U.S. House Speaker himself and was also vice president nominee in 2012 with then-Republican president nominee and another quintessential rhino, the infamous Mitt Romney. It was Romney who later, as a U.S. senator, voted to impeach Donald Trump. Ryan is now reportedly helping direct operations at Fox News. His pal, Wisconsin State House Speaker Robin Voss, has been using his influence there to torpedo attempts to investigate fraud in the state's 2020 election that handed its Electoral College votes to Joe Biden. It was absurdly stated on the CCP propaganda network, MSNBC, it should be called MSNBCCP, that the Republicans' battle over the House speakership left the country without a Congress. This, of course, is crap, put out by MSNBCCP, a sub-entity of NBC Universal, a huge media conglomerate that has big business with communist China. The disputed election of House Speaker was resolved in short order. As I said, we'll see if McCarthy is sincere, but at least when he talks about investigating and ending the weaponization of the Federal Bureau of Investigation and other critical issues before the nation, which would include the real need for serious investigations into the Biden crime family, as they're called. And possibly, or am I engaging in more wishful thinking here, some of the others in positions of power and influence in our government who've been fabulously enriched by the Chinese government. Among them would be former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and her family, her recent publicity stunt trip to Taiwan notwithstanding, and Senate Minority Leader Mitch McConnell. The House is now supposed to set up a special committee on the threats to the USA from the CCP, which after decades of infiltration has its tentacles in virtually every aspect of American society and culture, with the long-established goal of our ultimate destruction and enslavement. Trump supported McCarthy, saying McCarthy deserves a chance to do the right thing as Speaker. I'd like to believe Trump is right, but he's always seemed too willing to try to work with people and then who then stab him in the back politically. McCarthy was reported in alternative media as attributing much of his success after 17 rounds of voting, being elected Speaker, to Trump's support. McCarthy is reported to have ties to a CCP-linked venture capital firm called Sequoia Capital. Will he be able to resist his affiliation with the CCP getting in the way of serious congressional inquiry into the CCP's influence over the USA? As I said, we'll have to see. Here's more on this from a January 5 Secure Freedom Minute podcast with Frank Gaffney of CenterForSecurityPolicy.org. Remember, this was before McCarthy was ultimately elected Speaker. Play soundbite one, please.
This is Frank Gaffney with the Secure Freedom Minute, Why is Kevin McCarthy not withdrawn from the House Speaker's race after 6 failed attempts to win the post? It may have less to do with his notorious lust for power than self-preservation. Under present circumstances, a Republican House is basically reduced to conducting investigations. McCarthy's choice to perform oversight on China, Representative Mike Gallagher says he intends to examine U.S. underwriting of the Chinese Communist Party. The trouble is that Kevin McCarthy has long worked with Sequoia Capital, a firm that has invested heavily in and for China. The botched Benghazi investigation illustrates how a speaker like McCarthy's mentor, Paul Ryan, can neuter an inquiry. Ditto the failure of McCarthy's own China task force to examine financial firms like BlackRock and Sequoia's enabling of our enemy. We need a speaker who will root out the CCP's elite capture, not exemplify it. This is Frank Gaffney.
And while we're talking about the gargantuan CCP influence over so many of our so-called elites in government and elsewhere in America, here's audio from a recent video by Ultra MAGA Party, posted December 28 on their pages on the free speech social media platform Getter.com. That's G as in George, E-T-T as in Taylor, R, G-E-T-T-R.com. To get the full impact of what they are conveying here, you need to see the video, which if you can't find somewhere else on the internet, you can still see on their pages on Getter.com. You may have to set up an account for yourself there or log in with Google, Facebook, or some other social media to view the video. But it's worth it. It's titled, "This is Leader Mitch McConnell." Please play soundbite 2.
Vice President Harris, Majority Leader Schumer, Mitch McConnell. Mitch, I don't want to hurt your reputation, but we really are friends. And you've always done exactly what you've said. You're a man of your word, and you're a man of honor. Thank you for being my friend.
So let's talk about leaders first. Mitch McConnell is still going to be a gatekeeper for so many important things that Biden is going to want to do early on. Judicial nominations, cabinet appointments, any big legislation is going to have to go through Mitch McConnell. The good thing for Joe Biden is that they have a long-standing relationship. They served for nearly 25 years together in the Senate. So that's an important relationship to watch.
President Biden's been able to cultivate many unlikely friendships across the aisle with me. We've also negotiated in good faith when the country needed bipartisan leadership.
This isn't about Republican Democrat anymore. This is about the things we have to agree on and move together on.
I think we all agree the most important thing going on in the world is the war in Ukraine. I had a chance to call the president last week. He said, let me think it over. He called back in about 15 minutes and agreed. I don't always agree with him, but I do trust him implicitly. Get Joe on the phone is shorthand for time to get serious in my office. I do like Joe a lot. I think he's a good man. I went to his son's funeral because I felt badly for him.
McConnell is more than a skillful politician, according to his wife of 20-plus years, Elaine Chao. Chao tells of a sports-loving, compassionate man.
I liked him because he clearly so cared about Kentucky.
Now, whether he's actually a practicing homosexual or not, I don't know. He was at one time. He was kicked out of the Army after 2 weeks for, he was an officer, he was molesting an enlisted man, and he got thrown out of the Army. And his records are not available for anyone to look at.
You've got Mitch McConnell, his wife Elaine Chao, very closely tied commercially to the Chinese government. China's State Shipbuilding Corporation, largest military contractor in China. You've got close commercial ties there. And most of the contracts of the goods they ship around the Asia-Pacific region come from the Chinese government. So what they have is leverage. If Mitch McConnell were to take action as a Senate leader that China was really angry about, they could destroy the family business overnight. And that's exactly the kind of relationship China wants when they strike these bargains with America's political leaders.
I haven't heard previously about the allegations you heard there that McConnell was thrown out of the Army for supposedly molesting an enlisted man, and records about it are unavailable. If true, though, it should be considered as a factor in what the opposition may have on McConnell. He certainly at first prefers to, he certainly appears to prefer his longtime Senate pal, the dim-witted, hopelessly corrupt, CCP compromised, in my opinion, Joe Biden, to Donald Trump, that's for sure. I can appreciate some of the things McConnell has done in the Senate for conservatives, among them leading efforts to exonerate Trump over his sham impeachment. But McConnell himself is, through his wife, is too closely tied to the CCP, like Biden, Pelosi, and others in our government, not to mention many on Wall Street, academia, and so on. Is it not surprising, then, that McConnell was so eager to join with others in Congress in rushing through Biden's election as president while refusing to consider the serious evidence of fraud in the 2020 presidential election? Here's a headline from a lengthy article carried February 19, 2021 on the AmericaReport.org website. It's the headline reads, China's cyber warfare attack on 2020 U.S. election tied to Mitch McConnell's CCP-connected wife, Elaine Chao. Here's a number of, it's a very lengthy article, quite a bit of attribution and stuff. I found it rather authoritative myself, but I'm sure others on the left, or not, I'm not among them, but people on the left, many of them would refute this. But I would say take a look at that article yourself. Here's a quote. Elaine Chao, who served as chair of the Federal Maritime Commission and later as U.S. Secretary of Labor and Secretary of Transportation, failed to disclose as part of her confirmation process that she had served on the board of directors of California-based tech company Multicom beginning on July 1, 2000. Another paragraph down in the article says, quote, Chow's family members, including her father, James Chow, and her younger sister, Angela Chow, through business interests and board memberships, including at the Bank of China and the China State Shipbuilding Corporation, continue to maintain close connections to the Chinese Communist Party, continuing through the November 2020 election and on into 2021 and the future, end quote. Now, there's another quote in the article, and this one is a quote within a quote. It's quoting an opinion piece published, it says, October 14, 2014, in the Cincinnati Inquirer. And its authors were Curtis Ellis, senior advisor at America First Policies, and Harry Wu, who was a Chinese-American human rights activist imprisoned for 19 years in 12 different Chinese labor camps. And there's a paragraph in that, quote, besides her family friendship with Beijing's communist bosses, Senator Mitch McConnell's wife, Elaine Chao, has ties to the company at the center of the ChinaGate money laundering scandal, another firm in partnership with an intelligence gathering front for the People's Liberation Army, and an internet company, Multicom, subsequently linked to a notorious Chinese cyber espionage ring, unquote. It appears that the article is trying to link Elaine Chao, and I would assume through her, Mitch McConnell, to reports of Chinese cyber attacks in the 2020 election. And this, the people who are saying this, Mike Lindell, retired Lieutenant General Thomas McInerney, and others, are saying that this was widespread and having a big impact on our elections. The ChinaGate fundraising scandal, according to an article in published October 24, 2015 on IndependentSentinel.com, was a scandal which plagued the 1996 Bill Clinton-Al Gore campaign, and Hillary Clinton was said to be very much involved. ChinaGate, also known as Commerce Gate, the article says, is the most serious scandal in U.S. history. Well, I'd say it's been eclipsed by now, but anyway, they say it involves the transfer of America's most sensitive technology, including but not limited to nuclear, missile, and satellite technology, possibly in exchange for millions of dollars in contributions to the 1996 Clinton-Gore reelection effort and the Democratic National Committee. If you know about Government Accountability Institute President Peter Schweitzer's book, Red Handed, How American Elites Get Rich Helping China Win, you may have recognized that is Schweitzer commenting there at the end of that last soundbite about Mitch McConnell and his wife, Elaine Coco Chow, as Trump referred to her, and their family shipping business with its ties to the Chinese State Shipbuilding Corporation, CSSC. Schweitzer has related that all the McConnell and Chow shipping business ships were built in China, and all their crews are Chinese nationals. Hence, the CCP would destroy or could destroy the McConnell family business anytime it wants to. For this reason, I say Mitch McConnell is irretrievably CCP compromised, as are Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, and anyone else serving in Congress or other places in American government taking money connected with the CCP. These people must rapidly divest themselves of all their ill-gotten assets they have with the aid of the CCP or get out of government, I say. But realistically, when is that going to happen? Moving on, here's audio from recent commentary by conservative radio and talk and TV host Mark Levin on the need for a real special counsel to investigate Joe Biden. It's from comments made December 18 by Levin on his Life, Liberty, and Levin television show on Fox. It's titled, "How the Hell Do You Not Appoint a Special Counsel to Investigate Joe Biden?" Play soundbite three, please.
I want to mention a few things related to the Biden crime family. Just a reminder, there are a series of questions whether Joe Biden used his public office and position to enrich himself and his family to the tune of over $30 million, and why he and family members received millions, even tens of millions, from foreign governments and front corporations in China, Russia, Ukraine, and other places. We have the Hunter Biden laptop. It's an amazing thing, loaded with evidence that the FBI has all but ignored and the media covered up for the longest time. You have witnesses like Bob Alinsky who are on the record publicly and who did a long interview, one or two, with the FBI and was never contacted again. You have other potential witnesses and actors who are named in the emails. And in the emails on the laptop, you have dates and times and transactions, really anything you would need. And we have Treasury SAR reports. These are suspicious activity reports on wired funds, which the Treasury Department is withholding from the Republicans in the House of Representatives, but they have some in the U.S. Senate on the Republican side, which should give you a lot of information. Joe Biden said during the course of the campaign against Donald Trump that he has never discussed Hunter's overseas business dealings. Joe Biden is a pathological liar. He certainly did, and the evidence is abundant. 51 Intel and national security so-called experts who were rooting for Joe Biden claimed the laptop was Russia disinformation, even though they had never seen it. They're liars. Who organized that? Who put that letter together in order to mislead the American people and law enforcement? The FBI warned about Russia disinformation at the same time this laptop was an issue before the 2020 election, met regularly with Twitter. We now know that thanks to the new Twitter and Elon Musk, regularly with Facebook. In other words, they tried to wave off big tech and the oligarchs, including Facebook and Twitter, from the laptop story. The FBI had the laptop, as I said, for nearly a year. They did nothing. Yet it could verify everything. The big guy. We have an email, May 13, 2017. Real evidence. The big guy. Who's the big guy? Bob Alinsky tells us. That's Joe Biden. 10% for the big guy. 10% for who? Joe Biden. It's in the laptop. I'm not making it up. We know that accounts and finances were commingled, Hunter's and Joe's. We also know that Hunter would pay for things for Joe. Did Joe pay taxes on that? That apparently was a huge issue with the Trump Organization and their former CFO. Remember him? They brought charges because, well, there were all kinds of gifts that weren't reported. How about Joe Biden? Has he reported all these gifts? I don't think so. Whistleblowers. We have Joe involved in meetings and phone calls involving some of Hunter's linked businesses. We have pictures with Joe Biden with certain of Hunter's partners. These raise criminal issues. I'm not saying they're guilty. These raise criminal issues of wire fraud, money laundering, tax evasion, conspiracy to defraud the government, failure to register as a foreign agent, all kinds of stuff that's been used against all kinds of people in the recent past. Well, why does this stuff matter? Well, before we get to that, there's more. Taxes. Joe Biden prides himself on releasing his individual income taxes. And he's been celebrated for this. And he's taken shots at Donald Trump over this. Well, it could be because Joe Biden hasn't really released all of his taxes, has he? This is from Chris Jacobs, writing in the Wall Street Journal some time ago. According to their tax returns, that's Joe and Jill Biden, in 2017 and 2018, the Bidens and his wife Jill avoided payroll taxes on nearly, looks like, $13.3 million in income from book royalties and speaking fees. They did so by classifying the income as S-corporation profits rather than taxable wages. The Bidens did pay themselves salaries from these S-corporations of nearly $750,000 between them over 2 years, and they paid full taxes on the income, but they circumvented payroll taxes, Obamacare taxes, Medicare taxes. So they protected 95% of their income that went through this loophole, shall we say, an S-corporation. That's what the left calls it. And so millions of dollars were protected from the payroll tax, and that accumulates to almost $500,000 in taxes they otherwise would have paid had they not set up these S-corporations. Now, here's the problem. They have said these S-corporations represent money they earn from speeches and book writing. How do we know that? Well, USA Today said it did. Well, how do they know? They cited the Biden campaign website. Well, how do we know? We don't know. So the question is, and I don't have the answer, if they want to be transparent, they want to prove us all stupid, why don't they release those S-corporation tax returns? Where did all this money come from? Bob Anderson, writing in The Federalist about half a year ago or so, he says, recall that despite then-presidential candidate Biden having bragged that he had released his tax returns with what his team called a historic level of transparency, the truth is that he only released his individual returns. Those returns provided no detail regarding the source of most of the income, dollars that flowed to him and his wife, Jill, by way of S-corporations they set up shortly after his departure from the office of vice president. The entity Celtic Capri Corp., his, and Giacoppa Corp., hers, contain more than $13 million of the $17 million the couple had reported in income after Biden left office, most of it in the first year in 2017. Now, a notable $8.7 million gap exists between its $9.5 million net income in 2017 and the $809,709 of disclosed income that year from book tour and related speaking events. Since his disclosure covers only part of 2017, we lack the insight into other income that may explain it. Did any of that money, he's just asking, or other overseas income go to Joe or Jill? Would we know if the president provided a copy of their S-Corp tax returns with all the partner K-1s that flowed through them? But the only detail we have to aggregate numbers reported on the couple's individual's returns are the ones given to us by the campaign, by the Bidens, and the press. Well, we now know, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court, that when the Republicans take over the House, they can get access to Joe Biden's S-corporation returns. All of it. They get access to all of Hunter Biden's corporate or individual returns, assuming he filed taxes. Apparently, he had his lawyer, or his lawyer voluntarily paid $1 million or $2 million to cover his back taxes. As a matter of fact, as a footnote, thanks to the U.S. Supreme Court, Congress now has the power, given the fact that they allowed a lame duck Democrat committee of Congress 2 weeks ago to get 6 years of Donald Trump's tax returns for no reason whatsoever. There can't be a legislative purpose. They're not going to even be there in the majority in a few weeks. They can get access to Nancy Pelosi's tax returns and Barack Obama's tax returns and Michelle, of course, George W. Bush's tax returns. Hell, they could even get the Chief Justice of the United States tax returns. Thank you, Supreme Court. What a dumb decision. The door is wide open for the Republicans to get returns on private citizens, public officials, anyone they want. Just say it's a legislative purpose. Now, let's move on. Why am I laying all this out? Because of this in the Washington Post. A guy by the name of David Brock. He's a reprobate, a radical leftist who runs Media Matters and other left-wing groups. He's a hate-on for conservatives in the Republican Party, a hate-on for Trump, but a hate-on for all Republicans. Washington Post points out that there was a meeting in September, and among others, Brock and some of the bigwig activists on the Democrat and liberal side and Hunter Biden's lawyer, a guy by the name of Kevin Morris, were very blunt in laying out, as the Washington Post writes, a strategy session they had on expected onslaught of investigations and how they were going to fight back. They described the possibility of defamation lawsuits. They put this out to the Post and made it public, that they could pursue against the presidential son's critics, Fox News, Eric Trump, Rudy Giuliani, anybody they want. They're already trying to dig up dirt on anybody who might make accusations. They have a so-called SWAT team. They have a sprawling infrastructure. This article goes on and on and on. A group called Courage for America, a SWAT team called called Facts First, the Congressional Integrity Project, and also the White House. All of them are involved in what's going to be a character assassination campaign against anybody who dares to speak out against the Biden crime family or appear before a committee of Congress or appear on a news program. That's called intimidation. You know what else that's called? Maybe the U.S. attorney in Washington, D.C. might be familiar with that. Obstructing an official effort by Congress to conduct an investigation. I wonder what Merrick Garland will do about this. And it's clear the purpose here is to interfere with the operations of Congress and is subject to contempt. There's no need to make a general threat to prosecute people for defamation in advance of testimony, because that anticipates an event that is yet to happen. And the only reasonable interpretation of what is reported in the article is that it is intended to have a chilling effect, to threaten people and prevent testimony. Now, if I were the lawyer for Hunter Biden, Mr. Kevin Morris, or Hunter Biden himself, I'd watch what I say and be very careful. And any criminal violation by contempt of Congress or an extortionist threat can be prosecuted up to the end of the statute of limitations. I would encourage the Judiciary Committee in the House Oversight Committee, you get a hold of this article, you take down names and you find out who is threatening to interfere with your investigation and whether that goes to the highest levels of the White House. What do we have here? Nixon 2? I don't really know, but it is troubling. And then finally, this issue of the special counsel. How the hell do you have all this evidence of this kind of activity, of enriching a family, a vice president who becomes president, with foreign governments and foreign corporations, serious questions about whether their taxes are accurate, the emoluments clause when it comes to the president of the United States, and whether or not we actually have a man in the Oval Office who's been compromised by, among others, the Communist Chinese Party? How the hell do you not appoint a special counsel to investigate him, not his son, him? How is that possible? The purpose of the special counsel statute is not to investigate a political opponent like some third world dictator. It's not to investigate Donald Trump. You've never had the appointment of a special counsel to investigate a political opponent like this is Stalin's Soviet Empire or some third world banana republic. The purpose of a special counsel is to eliminate the appearance of a conflict within an administration. That is, an attorney general appoints a special counsel because it's not believed that the attorney general can avoid the appearance of a conflict because he was appointed by the president. And so that's when you appoint a special counsel. So here we have a situation where it's turned on its head. A special counsel appointed to investigate Donald Trump over documents and these concoctions about January 6th that somehow he had a role. And you don't have a special counsel in a matter that involves a sitting president and his ties to the communist regime in China, his ties to the regime in Russia, his ties to the prior corrupt regime in Ukraine, and so forth and so on. Unbelievable.
When Mark Levin makes such comments, he knows what he's talking about. He's a distinguished attorney and author who, among many other accomplishments, was chief of staff to Attorney General Edwin Meese in the Reagan administration. At that time, I think he couldn't have been older than around 30, probably younger. He's no slouch. Legally, he's got a great, amazing legal mind. Another distinguished attorney, currently under vicious attacks by elements of the political establishment to destroy him over his support for Trump, is former New York City mayor and federal prosecutor Rudy Giuliani. Giuliani has said our once vaunted Federal Bureau of Investigation has become essentially a secret police agency for the Democrats. Something that bothers me most about our current government in Washington is precisely this kind of role that members of our of the leadership of our intelligence communities, particularly the FBI and CIA, have allegedly assumed in recent years. That is, as spies, saboteurs, and collaborators of the political left and their masters of the Chinese Communist Party. As the most the most disturbing thing about all this for me are the allegations from retired U.S. Air Force Lieutenant General Thomas McKinerney, election integrity activist Mike Lindell, and others that the CCP has been given access to a powerful CIA-developed supercomputer called the Hammer and an election sabotage program used with it called Scorecard. This system has, according to McKinerney, Lindell, and others, been used for years to corrupt and swing U.S. elections for communist-oriented Democrats and rhino allies and bring about the utter political defeat of Donald Trump and candidates he has endorsed. McKinerney said the Hammer and Scorecard were going to be used in 2016 to throw the presidential election to Hillary Clinton, but for some unknown reason it was not used then. And so, to the shock and dismay of the political left, Donald Trump was legitimately elected president. This then led to the unprecedented wave of outcry and attempt after attempt by this, I say the CCP, and its minions of this country to oust Trump from office, which ultimately succeeded in what many of us believe was the fraudulent 2020 election, and to destroy Trump's MAGA or Make America Great Again movement. And you might notice, it's interesting, this went on and on. All they did, all the opposition did during all of Trump's presidency was that he stole the election through Russia collusion and on and on. We had investigation after investigation. Official investigation after official investigation all came to nothing because we still have some transparency left in our country, thanks to the First Amendment. Yet Biden, we have been unsuccessful, the Biden's opponents, in getting real forensic audits of electronic voting equipment anywhere that I know of. And if you even talk about it like I'm doing now, you're considered to be a threat to the Republic, according to our illustrious president. If you've been listening to my shows, you've recently heard audio clips of McKinerney speaking on alternative media programs, alleging that in the midterm elections last year, the CCP, presumably with the assistance of treasonous allies in the USA, focused on the U.S. Senate elections, securing victories for left-wing Democrats. This resulted in the blunting of the MAGA Republican electoral sweep many pre-election polls indicated would be the outcome of the midterms. I recently read an article posted on the internet that implicated President Barack Obama and then Vice President Joe Biden as being involved in supposedly moving the Hammer supercomputer to a location in Maryland where they and their underlings had more control over it. If the Hammer and Scorecard do in fact exist, and Obama and Biden were involved in gaining control of it, and it was indeed handed to CCP operatives, this would have very serious implications, not only for the people involved in it, but also for our own national security. But as of this time, no one in government that I am aware of will even discuss these very serious allegations. And so what is to become of them, critical as they are for national security? I mean, let's go ahead. Let's have a big, official, open, transparent investigation, perhaps in the House. And if we, as the left says, we have the most free and fair elections in history, then it'll be debunked, will it not? Let the American people see the evidence and decide for themselves. But again, realistically, is that going to happen? With the Senate firmly in the hands of pro-Biden Democrats and Republicans, an impeachment of Joe Biden in the House would most likely be killed in the Senate, thus ensuring the continued existence of CCP influence, if not control, over the Biden administration and a number of our other federal government institutions. And all the while, Donald Trump and his supporters keep talking about the next big upcoming election in 2024, when Trump confidently declares he will be reelected president. But how can this possibly happen with our continued, I say again, rigged and fraud-ridden elections? If no one in government is willing to even discuss this, how can we ever succeed in fixing our elections and in the process save the republic? And why is the left so determined to prevent anyone from speaking about it? I don't know what will come of all this, but I'm filled with dread about what the future holds for our country when we no longer have truly free and fair elections. There's a mountain of evidence supporting these shocking allegations, and it's high time someone in our government got serious and investigated. That's a wrap for another show. As always, we hope you found the content of interest and value. You can listen to a podcast of today's show when it's posted shortly on the Jim Benson Show pages here at bbsradio.com. Look for us again in the same time slot 2 weeks from now with another live broadcast. Have a good rest of your day and evening.